So we continue part two of our conversation with Kevin Zeese of Popular Resistance, a recent article, A Pivot to Peace Must Replace United States' Pivot to War with China. More recently, Trump has been escalating the conflict with China, allegedly over the COVID-19 crisis, saying, oh, maybe this was manufactured in some lab in China, and it got out, and China hid how serious a problem it was. And if they had spoken a lot sooner, you know, we wouldn't have so many deaths in the United States. What were some of the responses you had in your article to that line of contention?
Well, you know, the U.S. has actually put forward more than a dozen false claims blaming China, calling China not being transparent, not telling people soon enough, and even claiming falsely that it originated in the Wuhan lab. All this has been disproved. In fact, we mentioned that in the article on our newsletter on Popular Resistance, but we also have an article on Popular Resistance that called Reality Check that goes through each of these lies. And this is all part of manufactured consent for escalating the crisis. And the reality is that China told the World Health Organization in December, when they first discovered an unusual pneumonia on January 3rd, China contacted the U.S. Center for Disease Control specifically to tell them about this unusual pneumonia and that might be a virus. China put out warnings. That CDC warning was then shared with the Department of Health and Human Services and the National Security Council. So the White House was aware of this on January 3rd. And here we are 5 months later, and the U.S. has still not put in place adequate testing or tracing. Just this week, China found 6 cases of COVID in Wuhan, 6 cases. And they announced that in the next 10 days, they're going to test every resident of Wuhan, a city larger than New York. That means 11 million people will be tested over the next 10 days in order to stamp out this small increase in cases. 6 cases, and they're going to do 11 million tests. The United States, in 5 months, has done 9 million tests. Inadequate. Trump's response has been inadequate from the beginning. It wasn't until mid-March that I finally took any serious action. The one step he took before that was to announce stopping flights from China. But the reality is China had already stopped flights out of Wuhan. So that was an inconsequential action. And we've learned since then that the virus actually came into New York through Europe, not through China. And so Trump has mishandled this virus terribly. U.S. now has 1/4 of all the deaths from this virus in the world. 80,000 deaths. We'll have more than 100,000 deaths by the end of this month. Unless we make some major changes, we'll be in the multiple hundreds of thousands of deaths by the fall in the midst of the presidential election. So Trump is panicking. He's panicking because he knows that people will see how he mishandled this test. This virus, calling it a hoax, saying it'll be gone by April, saying the maximum deaths will be 60,000, on and on and on. He's made full inaccurate statements. So rather than accept responsibility, every time he's asked, do you accept any response? He says, no, I don't accept any responsibility. He instead is looking for a scapegoat, and that scapegoat is China. Now, China is a great scapegoat because since the Obama era, there's been a bipartisan effort to attack China. So a lot of false information about China has been put into U.S. press. The Hong Kong protests, which had been funded by the National Endowment for Democracy, the anti-China movement since the 1990s. The U.S. has been funding that. And so these anti-China protests that were pretending to be democracy protests were misreporting the United States. The allegations regarding the Uyghurs in the Muslim territory, another great exaggeration. Again, the U.S. has been funding the Muslim Uyghur Congress in that part of China for more than a decade. So the U.S. has been fomenting problems in China and reporting them in the U.S. media to create an anti-China bias. So, of course, now you see Biden and Trump both trying to out-attack China each other. Biden saying Trump is weak, Trump saying Biden is weak. They're both wrong. We need to find the time. We need to move toward cooperation with China. We have global crisis issues, the pandemic, global economic collapse, the nuclear arms race, and of course, most important, the climate crisis. We need to unite together with China and other countries to confront these global issues. Instead of sowing division with anti-China falsehoods, we should be finding ways to de-escalate, work together, and solve these common crises.
Now, at the end of your article, you point to a page, a petition, I believe called Pivot to Peace,
right,
which sounds, you know, very similar to what you just been talking about. Can you explain, you know, how has that arisen, and is that just the United States effort, or more countries involved?
It's a global effort, and the Pivot to Peace began in the United States as Chinese groups were under attack. They started to form this, and now it's broadened out to other organizations and other people. Pivot to Peace is something people can all go to. On the website, in addition to the petition, there's information about the escalation of conflict between the U.S. and China and how we have to de-escalate it. I think this is really something that, as we saw the pivot to war that started with the Obama administration and that now has turned into a national security strategy of great power conflict, it's essential for people in the United States to tell our country we want to see de-escalation and cooperation between the U.S. and China. These are the two largest economies in the world. If we're in conflict, it hurts the economic security and the military security of the world. We need to find a way to come together, work together to solve the common crises, climate change, nuclear escalation, the pandemic, and the global economic collapse, which is looking more and more like it could become a global depression. Because in addition to mishandling the virus, the Trump administration and Congress are mishandling response to this economic collapse.
So we're talking with Kevin Zeese. We have about 3 minutes left. I'm sort of curious about how other, you know, countries in Asia and Pacific view, you know, China and its growing, you know, economic might. Certainly one of the things, at least in the Western press, has been pointed out, China's been quite aggressive about lending money to smaller countries to support development projects, but it gives them, you know, increased leverage over, you know, that country. Are other Asian countries concerned about the growing power of China?
Well, it's, you know, that's an interesting question because the U.S., of course, tries to foment division between other countries with China, particularly Vietnam, Philippines. And of course, there's longstanding problems between Taiwan and China, as China sees that Taiwan is actually, from their perspective, part of China and needs to become unified more closely with China. So there are conflicts. But the more important point, I think, about China is they are developing the Belt and Road Initiative, which goes through Asia, the Middle East, Russia, Northern Africa, and Europe. And connecting Europe to Asia through that Belt and Road Initiative will be the engine of economic development for this century. As part of that effort, the Belt and Road Health effort in response to the COVID virus, China has been providing assistance to many European countries and Middle Eastern countries like Iran, and has been working to try to help countries to respond to the virus. China has shown a one way to respond to the virus effectively, and it's one that we could learn a great deal from. But they have been sending doctors, health supplies, not only to the Belt and Road Initiative countries, but even to the United States. They've been sending supplies. So they have been trying very hard to help countries respond to this terrible pandemic. But the Belt and Road Initiative is something that will be a key to the engine of the economy for the future. And it really threatens the United States because what it means is a European and Asian dominated 21st century with the United States cut out. The United States, instead of causing division, needs to figure out how to unify with China so it can join in building a green economy through the Belt and Road Initiative. That is a step that needs to be taken. Conflict will not help either China, U.S., Russia, or Europe.
So we've been talking with Kevin Zeese of PopularResistance.org. I know you have a daily newsletter people can sign up for, I assume, through PopularResistance.org.
That's right. On the front page of PopularResistance.org, you can see both our weekly and our daily news digest. The news digest, neither one of these have any charge. The article we've been talking about is our weekly newsletter. The daily news digest summarizes about 15 articles a day in 4 or 5 lines. You can then click on the article and get the full article. And we urge people not only to get the Daily Digest, but also when you see articles you agree with or are interested to you, share them widely. We have to be the media. People's media needs to become much more powerful. If we consciously work, like you're doing with this kind of your radio station, if we consciously work to be the media, we can overcome the misinformation of the corporate media and the bipartisan Wall Street parties in Washington, D.C. So sign up at the Daily Digest and our weekly newsletter and share the information widely.
Thank you, Kevin Zeese, PopularResistance.org, and this has been Mark. Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.